Women That Lead presents Our Leading Edge, featuring your host, Jenna Forster, Mastermind Executive Coach, inspiring women to lead with alignment, passion, and purpose through conversations that inspire. Stretch yourself to a new level. Learn, grow, expand. And now, here's your host, Jenna Forster.
Welcome, everyone, and welcome to Our Leading Edge. Thank you for joining myself and my lovely guest, Michelle Bursell, today. We're going to be taking on a topic that I think is so vitally important in today's world, and I think it's becoming more and more prevalent as we proceed through this topic of leadership. So I've brought you a couple of shows now that cover this type of subject matter, but what I really like about today's guest is that Michelle will bring a different angle to this. She's going to talk to it from her extensive knowledge base. So before I introduce Michelle, I'm going to introduce the subject matter so that you know where we're going with this show. And then I'll bring Michelle in after I introduce her a little bit. So today we're going to be speaking about emotional leadership. And really what we're talking about within the guise of that, we're going to be going a little bit more specific into the idea of opportunities. And I love that Michelle brings this idea of small opportunities and the importance of small opportunities, even when you may miss them, which I think I can say I probably miss a lot of them, and I know a lot of our listeners may be missing them also. So a little bit about Michelle before I bring her on. Michelle Bursell is known as a visionary leader in emotional empowerment, and she really challenges business professionals, sales, and management in the overall impact emotions have on how we show up as leaders, and that, as we all know, will affect our bottom line. She combines her innovative ideas along with her training as a clinical psychologist and in education. Bursell is transforming the way people think and how they feel truly across the globe. She's got a great impact. She's empowering so many people while creating also financial impacts that are in a positive realm. Besides media attention that Michelle has received already in Women's World Magazine, Parents Magazine, The Huffington Post, PBS.org, and Fox Television, Bursell is featured in the upcoming film documentary, Good Luck, When Preparation Meets Opportunity. Bursell's latest book, F-E-E-L, Turn Your Negative Feelings into Your Greatest Allies, immediately became a number one best-selling book upon its release, and 2 weeks later was featured as a gift at the 2012 Emmy Awards. So at the end of the show, I'm going to give you some ideas on how you can get a hold of Michelle. I'm going to ask her to share that. And also a really great opportunity that Michelle has coming up that's going to be about an event that she has called The Courage to Be You. So Michelle, enough of that. Please come on and show the audience just how wonderful you are. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jenna. It's truly a pleasure to be with you today and to share this topic that often gets missed in when we're talking about leadership. I'm really excited to share with your amazing audience who's already done so much when it comes to being leaders.
Yes, absolutely. And I love that we're bringing this angle into the conversation, because there is such a stigma around emotion. And when we try to pair emotion and leadership, there's an even bigger stigma. And I think especially for women, men also, but I do think it is very large for us. And how do we embrace this idea of emotional leadership? And what does that even mean? So I'm going to start there with you. And can you talk a little bit about what do you mean when you say emotional leadership?
Yes, well, you bring up such great points. First of all, what I want everyone to realize is that emotion is big business. When it comes to advertising, when it comes to even our politics in the world, what we're finding is that emotion is what sells. Emotion is what moves people. Emotion is underneath every one of our choices, even when, and especially when, I would say, people think they're making a rational decision. It's actually influenced by emotion. And so what I'm talking about is our ability to influence others. And this absolutely comes from an emotional place. And the more we understand this about ourselves and are able to actually influence ourselves with our emotion, and specifically what I help people with is negative emotion that comes up and how to influence us to continue to grow and evolve as leaders, we're going to also have a greater impact and ability to influence others. And so this is like really this secret ingredient that on a corporate level, like I said, advertising firms, politicians get this, but we're not trickling it down to the individual for what this means and how this can be the biggest source of being able to move and lead and guide others in a direction that really fits for who we are as individuals and the movement, the shift that we want to make in our lives and in the world. And so it really is this element that hasn't been brought a lot of attention, or if it has, it's been in a negative, shameful way that we can use as our advantage.
I just love how you put that, Michelle, because it's so true. As human beings, we are emotionally driven, and everything that drives us is from emotion and based on emotion. Yet, like you just said, that as people, we feel a shame that comes with having any emotion. You know, we see individuals that don't show as much emotion as stronger. I find that really interesting.
Yes, well, and that's interesting because it's like that piece is shifting, because it used to be that we could really guide people with this forceful type of leadership where they put the iron fist down and it's my way or the highway, and it's not the same conditions anymore, and it's not the same type of loyalty where we stay in one job for 30, 40 years. People are really impacted by what is the emotional tone in my office, meaning is it supportive? Is it there to allow room for me to lead? And if that iron fist mentality isn't going to work anymore. And so I'm finding a lot of leaders recognizing that they need to really inspire people and know how to influence them on an emotional level, and yet they don't know how because there aren't a lot of mentors doing that for them. And so this really is opening up a whole perspective on influence and really creating a place of certainty within ourselves that certainty becomes the magnet, the inspiration, rather than the iron fist and, you know, kind of that cold, closed off, this is the way it is. Does that make sense?
It does. And the key word, their influence. And I know for my clientele, that's where individuals are. And they are in a power of influence and at a level of influence. And they're looking to increase that level of influence. And what I like about this, there's such an isolation that happens as you climb a corporate ladder, or you climb any ladder, really.
Yes.
And what I like about what you're bringing to this conversation is how, and where I'd like to go more, is how do we utilize our emotional states to the advantage of that? So how do we get past that iron fist and need for this outside control, if you will, sort of that facade that leaders sometimes put on, especially women, in order to look a certain way? And how do we really start to utilize our own emotional state and leverage it?
Yes, that's a great question. So first of all, what we have to understand is that how we've been taught to understand emotion has been shame-inducing. So it's interesting that something that actually could be an advantage for women, where we know how to connect and influence people, becomes shameful to us in the workplace. So we got to keep in mind that the way that we've been taught to understand negative feeling in particular has taken away a certain power that we innately have. Our brain literally lights up differently when it comes to emotion, which gives us an advantage in how to connect with others. Now, men have an advantage in with their gray matter with being able to remember facts. This doesn't mean that women can't remember facts. It just means that their brain has an advantage. Well, we have an advantage with this emotional piece. And so it's really taking out the, I call it like the Barbie doll version of our emotion. We had the Barbie doll at one point that said, this is what a woman's figure should be. And it was literally impossible. And it was, you know, based on these images and ideals of what women should be. And so in this strange way, we take an emotion and we created this image that isn't really true. It's not like we see, women getting angry and throwing, you know, staplers at people's head, or that if we were to allow emotion, we would, and we'd all be sad and sharing each other's stories and passing along a box of tissues. But there's these stereotypes that happen if women were to allow these emotions to come through. And it's simply, this over-dramatized, not real version for most of us. I'm sure when I speak, everyone shares with me one story where it was that dramatic. But interestingly enough, it's oftentimes by a man. They're like, oh, I knew a man who threw a staple at someone's head. It's like, well, isn't that interesting that a man would do it, but a woman wouldn't dare? But besides that, it really, like, this isn't about us being a hot mess. This is about we are experiencing emotion every hour, and that you're going to have days that are going to feel off. You're going to have days where you doubt yourself, when you are anxious about something going through or not going through. And it's how do we influence ourselves in that moment to guide us to still feel empowered? Now, the go-to has been to kind of push those emotions aside and just stay focused and get your work done. But here's the thing, especially as leaders, whenever we push something aside, listen to that language. We're pushing. In other words, we're using energy to get rid of something. And that takes away from our ability to lead. It's an energy leak. And when I'm talking about leading, it's really stepping into the discomfort of what we're facing. It's being able to influence ourselves to act in a way that serves us. And so what I teach, Jenna, is how each negative feeling is actually guiding us in different ways to step more into the truth of who we are, more into our power in an authentic way. And so we have to listen to the message that's behind anxiety versus the message that's behind frustration versus the message that's behind anger, and really understand that there's a different teaching point, a different guidance coming through that emotion, and how to respond to the situation that's going to be to our advantage and that will influence ourselves in a way that's different than our norm.
Yeah, and what I love about that is the difference between when you're looking at the emotion that's showing up, frustration or anger or anxiety, whatever it is, and being curious about that and digging a little bit deeper on that and finding the driver of that emotion so that we can learn, grow, and expand through that, you're really talking about enriching, right? So enriching us for the betterment of us and others versus coming from that stance of, oh, this feeling of frustration or anger or anxiety is taking away from us. It's lessening us in our ability to contribute. And when we're talking about contribution, which is a big word for me, I use it a lot, what I'm hearing from you is that we are able to almost take back pieces of ourselves using emotions to connect in to produce the learning. Is that accurate?
That is absolutely accurate, and so eloquently said, because it really is about our ability to contribute. And what we have to understand is that you're right. The more we grow into our work, the more isolated we become. And it can feel very challenging to navigate this alone. But the key is that we have this internal guidance system that's supporting you to really get you to a place where you can contribute even more. It's an expansiveness rather than a contraction. And you said it so well, because most people do look at it as a contractive, problematic issue when a negative emotion arises. And it really is there to support us to be even better at what we do and be more authentic in who we are. And it's through that combination that really allows us to truly be seen. And in that being seen, we attract others, because people can feel our passion, our mission, or whatever it is that we're bringing to the table to contribute. They can connect with you more readily when you're able to see all aspects of yourself and receive them and honor them and understand them. It just allows people in to be moved by you more readily.
And one of the big words that's popping up for me when I listen to you speak, Michelle, is the word courage, right? So I see it on so many levels. So not only the courage to embrace that enriching part of us, right? The emotions that are able to pull us back together and direct us forward, but also when we do that, the courage we express out, not only verbally, but also emotionally and energetically. And then the last piece of that is, when we do that, what do we allow in others in the level of communication that we are now having? It sounds to me that it takes it to another level.
It really does. And the interesting piece is that without understanding the one's emotion at this level, we actually miss out on opportunities. We can't even see them because we're acting from a place of where a part of us is still not fully allowing ourselves to be seen, because we do have these doubts. We do have these storylines going on in our mind. So even though most of the time we're able to say, hey, I'm pushing them aside, I'm moving forward, they impact us in these slight ways that on how we show up and how we literally won't see the contribution that we truly bring and the powerful way that it's meant to be seen and received. And that impacts companies, communities in a very big way if we don't start recognizing this for ourselves. And when we do, we actually create a level of safety for people. And so I really want people to hear that. Like, the more your emotions become safe and understood and used from an empowered perspective, you feel more grounded, safe in who you are. And you create a level of safety where others can step into their courage as well. And that's when you're really able to create a movement where that inspiration and motivation, there's just a movement and energy that's felt by the whole that is a part of your work.
And when I hear you, I'm going to make some assumptions here. We're not talking about, and I love you're saying a hot mess. We're not talking about walking around like a hot mess and being this emotionally dramatic being and expressing all of those emotions all of the time. What I'm hearing from you, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's an introspective piece of us. So recognizing the emotion that we're feeling and then diving deeper into that to see what's behind that emotion and what's going on. Is it something external to us? Is it something internal to us? And is it something from the past, present, future? What's really driving it? And then we can start to understand ourselves at a deeper level. And when you do that, then the other piece that I'm hearing from you, we're not distracted from keeping ourselves in check all of the time. I was one that kept herself in check all of the time and didn't allow any emotion to be shown. And I felt that was necessary for me to do to be the professional I wanted to be. But the distraction of that alone would definitely, in my eyes, wash out a lot of opportunities that were right in front of me because I was so distracted by trying to keep myself in check that I wasn't able to see some of those opportunities.
You got it. You can't. And, you know, it you just think about it, like keeping yourself in check, it means that a part of you is hiding. So if you're hiding, how can you be seen at the level of influence that you're actually meant to have? Mm-hmm. And what, you know, and when women get this, it's so powerful because then the veil over their eyes starts to be uncovered, where they can actually see how, if they're not stepping into this and who they are fully, then there's a part of them that they can't put themselves out there in a way to be seen at the level that a part of them knows deep down they're meant to be operating and be reflected back to at that level. And it does. It takes courage to step into this. And it takes courage from both an internal, like you were saying, the introspective level and the external. But I really believe more from the internal, because what this is really about is personal responsibility and really looking at the effects that you have in your life that aren't working for you. Like if there's something going on that's just not working for you, then you have to look at yourself as the cause if you really want to step into the courage of what it takes to be yourself and change the outcomes that you're receiving, that you're getting. And so when we start to do this, when we say, hey, this is happening in my life, and I don't want that. This is what I want over here. Then the question is, how can I be the cause to the effect that I want to get? And there's three components that make up within us how we shift the cause. Inside of us, we've got our own thoughts, we've got our feelings, and that impacts our actions. And we've spent a lot of time in leadership about thoughts and actions, but not about this feeling place, and especially utilizing our emotions from an empowered perspective. It's like, how is that done? Especially when we are in a place of self-doubt, anxiety, anger, frustration. And so this is what we want to bring to the table so that women can know, hey, you don't have to cover this stuff up anymore. And you also don't have to be a hot mess in expressing it. This is here to help you work through your edges, go to your edges, work through them so that you can be more of your empowered self, more of your true self out there as a leader, and knowing how to influence yourself during those times that actually isn't denying how you feel, who you are in that moment, actually sees it, so that you can utilize those feelings to guide you in a direction that may make you uncomfortable, that may guide you to see or do things differently.
Oh, Michelle, I just love you. And I think we could talk about this forever, but some of the things popping up for me as I listen to you speak is, you know, in the beginning of the call, you mentioned this utilization of energy, right? Like, where are we spending our energy? And when I think about you were mentioning this cause and effect piece and the piece about being seen. So the largest cause of conflict is when someone's not feeling seen or heard. And so if we think about that, there's an outward part of that for sure. But then there's an inward part of that, and thinking about the conflict that we are causing within ourselves when we are constantly fighting away from the emotions that we're feeling. And so we're not even allowing ourselves to see ourselves. So there's this expression of energy internally that's happening on a constant basis, and it's depleting. It's depleting our ability to be effective, our ability to be leaders, to effectively express ourselves. All of these distractions, again, are happening even within us just by the simple measure of not recognizing the emotions that are coming up in us. And I love that you're bringing this to light, because when we think about influence on others, when we're spending all of our time and energy in a conflict because we're not even seeing ourselves, well, how can we possibly effectively lead?
That is exactly it. And the women that I have supported with this, they literally don't see their gold, where they have this natural itch to have influence and really leverage, and they don't even see it because they can't acknowledge themselves at this level, and therefore they miss these seemingly small opportunities that are actually huge opportunities of who they're meant to be. And a lot of this is also getting real with ourselves, because as much as a part of us may be ready to lead, there's also a lot of women who've done extremely well climbing the ladder by being good worker bees and what it means to really lead, whereas you've got to have a sense of certainty about yourself, not that we don't care about what other people think, but we can't be looking for approval as we lead. And so these are dynamics that pop up even at that C-level of organizations that's going on, where if we tune into our emotions and actually utilize them, they're helping us overcome that stuff in an authentic way, in a very real way that we own, rather than something that we just tell ourselves in our head. And it's a big difference then between how we show up. If we're telling something in our head and we're not fully embodying it and believing it, and on some level we have these fears, again, we're not going to fully show up and be seen. And so this is being able to embrace this to allow us to see the opportunities that are right there for us. And it's always powerful for me when I get on the phone with people, how close those opportunities, they're right there, and they can't be seen until we see this part of ourselves.
So very true, and that personal ownership of that. So with the few minutes we have left, Michelle, can you walk us through, when someone's listening to this and they're hearing it and they're like, okay, I can see the connection there and I can see the why, onto why I would want to embrace this. So can you spend a couple of minutes just walking listeners through how do we do this? So we're running from meeting to meeting. We've got this much time between appointments, and we're busy, right? We have a lot on our plates and we have a lot to do. So how do we go about doing this? Can you walk them through if they're in a situation?
Yes, I absolutely can. So I have this five-minute process. There's times where it could take more than 5 minutes, but honestly, everyone that I talk to, when they're off in some way, you could spend a half your day being off and feeling like you're spinning your wheels. So I'd rather you take 5, 10, you know, again, in the beginning, it might take 10 minutes, but it's still, the more you practice this, the more it's going to move you. So the first question is, like, what isn't working for me, or what am I triggered about, that type of question. Like, you know you're off, so what is it? What is it that you're feeling off about? The second question is, what is the strongest emotion that comes off, that I'm feeling off right now or feeling triggered? and really identify what that emotion is. And if there's a couple, you know, again, what's the strongest one? The third step is, what does my fearful self say about this? So here's the thing. When we're experiencing a negative emotion, it's signaling to us that a part of us is in fear in some way, or not fully into our truth and power. And so we need to understand that signal, because on the flip side of it, it just makes sense that there would be an empowered piece about how to really come back into our truth and power. So the third step is, what is the fear telling me? Because I don't want you pushing your fear away. I want you to look it straight in the eye. Because when we look at it straight in the eye, we can see it's just the boogeyman, and really address it from an empowered place rather than trying to push it away only for it to come back later. So what's the fear saying? And then the fourth question and step is, what might be the empowered reason or guidance of this feeling? So in other words, if we're feeling fear about this, what might be the empowered piece that I'm being guided to see, understand, or step into? And then number five is to take action on that piece. Is whatever comes through in that empowered question is to take action as soon as possible from that empowered place, even if it doesn't make sense to our rational minds, because sometimes our rational mind will merge together with our fear to stop us, and we'll use rational things from the past, you know, quote unquote rational things from the past. But again, it's an emotional decision that you're making to stop you. And so really listening to this. Now, what I do, what my work is specific about, is I list about over 60 different feelings and say, here's the fear version, the version that keeps us disempowered, and here's the flip side to it. Here is the empowered place if you're just not getting anything when it comes to the empowered piece. And some of the top feelings that people have at work: anger, frustration, anxiety. And so if we take anxiety, the fear part of that is we're in self-doubt, we're in worry. And the flip side of that then is to trust ourselves. So anxiety is signaling to us when we aren't trusting ourselves, and we need to be. And so the question with anxiety, the empowered question then is, what would it look like if I trusted my gut, if I trusted what was coming forward with me on this decision? What would it look like? And really start to use our emotion as the signal to understand where we're being guided to go. And bam, if women, you know, especially if we're stepping into leadership, we're surrounded at a table of males, they're all going one direction, and you want to speak up and say, you know, I think we should be at Z, not A, and really be able to say that with conviction in your beliefs, you're going to be able to lead and influence a lot more. And so it's just reading these emotions, understanding the fear base. Anger, whenever we feel angry, we feel disempowered. We're saying, I'm backed against the wall. I don't have a choice. I don't know what to do. And the flip side of anger is always guiding us back to that we do have power. And it's a power with mentality. It's an understanding that we have a choice in how we view this, if we speak up about this. And so anger is different, where it's guiding us to claim back our power in a way where we may shrink or we may back down. And really guiding us to know how to take a stand in our truth. So different emotions have different guidance about how we can show up better for ourselves.
That's so beautiful. So beautiful, Michelle. And I think it's so incredibly valuable for individuals to work through Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with myself and all of our listeners. And I want to respect your time. I know you're a really busy lady and you've got a lot on your plate. And I just want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to have this conversation with me so that we can share this outward. And can you, I know a lot of our listeners are going to want to find out more about you and more about some of the events you have coming up and some of the information. So can you share just real quick with our listeners on how to get a hold of you, how to find you, more information?
Absolutely, Jenna, and thank you for asking me. Yes, I do have an event coming up. It's called The Courage to Be You. And this really is about honoring all of who we are so that we can fully step into all that we need to be. And it's doing more of this work so we're freed up and we're not apologizing on any level of for who we are. And that event is taking place at the end of October, October 23rd and 24th. And you can find out more about it at michellebursell.com/event. So I'll give you the spelling of my name too. Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, B as in boy, ERSELL.com/event. And you'll also find on my website information overall more about just emotional well-being. My book that you mentioned, Jenna, it's got the list of the 60 different emotions. That book is approaching it more from a personal development perspective, not from the business slant. But again, it's useful to guide us as individuals about how to receive these feelings so that we're really working with this energy and rather than allowing it to deplete or distract us. So lots of great information on the website, and I would love for you to check out the event because it's just really powerful, the transformation that can happen in a couple days from getting this from a heady place to really embodying it and feeling it within ourselves.
I think that's great. I'm a big proponent of leading self, leading others, and leading organizations. So, Michelle, thank you so much for spending time with us. If you have any other topic matters that come up, more than welcome to come back at any time. I think the value is still there. So thank you so much. And for those of you listening, please join me next time as I am joined by Greg Stiles, and we're going to be discussing when will you be good enough. All right, everyone, have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Jenna on today's program, Women That Lead, Our Leading Edge. For more information regarding today's show or on any of the programs Women That Lead offers, please visit www.womenthatlead.com. Until next time, lead with alignment, passion, and purpose.